Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a spirit who perished in a fire return with a message for the living?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, we'd love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like access to, oh, say, the largest audio archive of ghost stories, our brand new advanced EPP episodes that you get every single week, and advanced episodes of the show, all of it being commercial free, our ebook, our audiobook, then please become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, I just want to say the day that this episode is airing, not the day that we're recording it.
June 10th is the airing date.
School will be out.
Yes, school will be out. Although you've kind of not been in a school building for about 365 days or so. You know,
I know, but I mean like online school.
Online school, yes.
Just like learning in general.
Yes, yes, yes. So that will be done. And then looking forward to going back to normal school here in the upcoming fall.
Yeah.
Which is scary to think about that. Okay. And I'm not wishing summer away because it's the very beginning of summer. But we're talking like 3 months in, you know, June, July, August. You're back in. So are you excited for school to start?
Yes, I am.
Are you?
I am.
Good. Are you looking forward to school supply shopping?
Yes, that's the best part.
That's the worst part. You know, I actually didn't mind school supply shopping. What I hated about school supplies as a kid was the fact that you just be getting out of school and suddenly all the stores are like jam-packed with school supplies for the next year. It's like, it's summer. I don't want to think about school yet. Like, we just got out of school. And then it's like folders and glue sticks and markers and all that in like the summer area.
You know what the best part of school supply shopping is?
Waiting for it to go away because Halloween stuff comes out after it?
No.
What?
Backpacks.
Backpacks. Yeah. Are you going to get an interesting backpack this next year?
I'm not going to get something too crazy.
No.
Like something that actually looks good.
Maybe one with like a Ouija board on it or something.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
You could play Ouija on the bus.
I would love that.
No, we're not doing that. I'm just kidding. But how about a unicorn with a Ouija board on the side of the unicorn?
No.
And you use the unicorn horn as the planchette.
No.
To move around the board. And it only summons ghost unicorns.
Where did you get this idea?
My head, like right now.
Okay. I was thinking almost kind of like a checkered print one.
Oh, okay. Not Ouija unicorn.
I would like just like a regular Ouija board because I think that would look cool.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Sorry. We're not getting a Ouija board. Of all the stuff we'll get for ghost hunting and things of that nature, that's not one you get for ghost hunting. Okay?
Okay.
But
it doesn't summon anything.
Ouija boards? Have you not been paying attention to this show, my child? Are you saying if you don't use it? Are you saying just for like decoration? Is that how you're saying it?
Yes.
No, I still don't want it. I don't like the idea.
It's just a print on a backpack.
Oh, okay. A print on a back. Well, that'd be, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that your friends are going to want it. I think that might be kind of awkward. And they're like, that's the weird girl with the Ouija board. I mean, you already got me for your dad, so dude.
Excuse me. How is having a Ouija board print on your backpack weird?
Exactly. I don't think that that's a common thing. And
okay.
And it might be looked at as kind of like what? I'm quite honestly, I bet most kids will have no idea what that even is. You know all about it, but it was like, oh, you got the alphabet on your backpack is what they're going to think. Alphabet in weird letters.
I just think it would look cool.
I don't think they even sell that, honey. I'm sure maybe online we could find it somewhere, but I don't think we're going to find it like in the Target school supply aisle.
I hope we do.
Although, who knows? Anything's possible.
You know what the worst type of backpack that you can get?
What?
Plastic ones.
Plastic backpacks?
Those like clear ones.
Oh, where you can like see everything?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And they also break easily.
Yeah, anything like that. Yeah, it doesn't hold up very well. So, well, we'll go shopping for that, in August. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go into our first story of the day. It says, hello, this story is more about intuition or maybe coincidence as well as a ghost story. It was December of 2010, and my best friend and I had just returned to Charleston, South Carolina from visits to our hometowns for the holidays. I had recently graduated college, and we lived in downtown Charleston. My best friend lived a few blocks down the street from me in a historic home owned by her father, and we hung out there a lot. I'd usually walk home so that I could pass her house and often would stop to say hi. She arrived back in Charleston a couple of days before me, and I remember her telling me that she had found a dead bat in her sink when she got to her house. She was a bold person with a strong personality and brushed it off, but I remember saying, that must mean something. I still wonder if it did have meaning. I remember hanging out with her at her house upon our reunion. We were going to go out and meet up with friends, and I was chilly, so I asked if I could borrow a sweatshirt or something. Standing by her closet, she pulled out a gray hoodie from the top shelf and turned to look at me before handing it over, making a point to say that she trusted me and would lend me the hoodie. But it was her only hoodie, and I had to promise to return it. I remember how deadly serious she was about it to this day, and I remember that moment. I agree and wore the hoodie home that night. Her house was being renovated, and I remember I noticed exposed wires and that the fire detector was not hooked up. I made a huge deal about the fire detector being dismantled and told her she had to get it replaced persistently. Of course, in her usual unapologetic manner, she brushed it off but did tell me she would get it fixed. She knew I was serious about fire safety. Earlier that month, on December 1st of 2010 to be exact, I had posted on her Facebook wall, that is what we did back then, saying to make sure she had a fire extinguisher in her kitchen because a small fire could start in the kitchen and burn the whole place down quickly. On New Year's Eve approached, and we did not hang out that night because a mutual friend of ours had asked me to be his date to a dinner party. He needed a date and promised it would be fun, and it was. At the end of the night, we had the hardest time getting a cab home. We did not get the cab until around 4 in the morning, and we asked the driver to take us to my house, pay for one trip. I remember on the way home, the driver took a strange, long way to my house, and I commented on it. If we had taken the normal way, we would have passed my best friend's house. It was around 5 a.m. when we got to my house, and my friend decided to crash on my couch. He got up before me, and he said he was going to walk home, and I went back to bed. When I got up a couple of hours later, I had several missed calls and texts from him telling me he had walked by our friend's, my best friend and neighbor's house, that it was completely burned to the ground. When I learned that my friend had died in the house fire, I suddenly had what I can only describe as a vision. I saw the smoke. I saw my friend on the floor of her house. I even heard her dogs barking. We got more details from the firefighters. Everything in my vision was consistent with what they had said. A fire had started in the kitchen around 4 a.m., and the smoke detectors were not hooked up. She died of smoke inhalation, and so did three of her four pets. One of her pets, a cat, had not been found. It was a devastating event and so tragic. We were all terribly upset. About a week later, one of our mutual best friends called me and told me that she was walking by the house on her way to class and that the cat was there. I know it's her cat, she said, describing it to me and begged me to go to her house to try and capture it. I agreed and I went to her house. A friend met me there with a pet carrier and we quickly located the cat. It was her cat, the oldest of her pets. It was traumatized. Her tail was singed and she was evading capture. After an hour of trying to get the cat, we had her cornered in the back of the house. We were getting tired and hopeless. I remember concentrating hard, and I cannot remember if I said it in my head or out loud, but I called my friend's name and said, in a profoundly serious, loud way, if we don't get your cat right now, we're not going to be able to get her home. Right then, the cat went into the carrier. I have no doubt about it. It was my friend. There that day. We took the cat to our mutual friend's house and arranged for her to travel back to her hometown. My deceased best friend's mother was so grateful to get the cat. Later, I mailed her the sweatshirt I had borrowed. She told me that she was so thankful I sent her the sweatshirt because it was the only thing of her daughter's she had that was not severely burned. I told her I promised her daughter I would return that sweatshirt and that she had insisted I would take good care of it and return it when she lent it to me. It took me many years to fully recover from how heartbreaking this tragedy was, and I still think of my friend every day. I did dream about her many times throughout the next few years as I went on in life to achieve the things she always told me she believed I could do. Every time I dreamed of her, I was aware that I was the only person who could see her or talk to her in my dream. She was tan and happy. I'm not sure if that was really her visiting me or just a coping mechanism my brain was engaging in to help me get over it. I still feel so grateful for my friendship with her and feel she greatly impacted who I am today. There have been other times I've had intuition or feelings about things that turn out to happen, but nothing that resulted in death of someone I love. It still gives me chills when I look at that Facebook post from 1 month before she died, telling her a small fire could start in the kitchen and burn the whole house down. Many times I wonder if I have a gift or if these are just coincidences. I would love to hear what you think of the story. I love your show. Thanks for listening.
I think you might have a gift.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, is it a gift you want to have? Because to have it, if it's strictly in the sense of you're going to know of danger or when someone could potentially die, do you want that gift? Especially if it's something where there's really not a way to prevent it from happening. You know, you think maybe you can step in and do something, but maybe you can't. Maybe it's just, this is the information and this is the path that's going to happen whether you like it or not.
Well, what I think is that if it's something that could be prevented, mm-hmm. like a fire or something else that could potentially be dangerous, you could end up telling someone what you saw and what you think mm-hmm. might happen.
But I guess that's the million-dollar question. Can we truly alter the course of life of what's going to happen? I mean, it's one thing to, you know, not do things that are going to be dangerous and put yourself in a situation. It's another where you get a vision of someone's house burning down or something happening. You don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. And what is that person to do? Are they just to not go in that house anymore? Are they, you know,
like prepare for a fire?
Yeah, I mean, prepare, but that's the thing. Is it going to happen no matter what? Is there really a way? Are there times where we can get warning messages like that that can save one's life? Or is it more so a foretelling thing of this is going to happen, get ready? I don't know the answer to that. But it is always a weird thing now. I mean, the fact, you know, social media exists, you know, today and has now for about the last 15, 20 years. And anyone who's, you know, been around for a while, you have not. and that's fine. But, you know, the older you get, you know, you'll have friends, you know, family and people die in life. And it is weird when you go back and you can look at their social media posts, especially when it's like the day they died or the day before they died.
If it's
a sudden thing. Go ahead.
Or like a minute or like an hour before mm-hmm. they died.
Yeah, I mean, and that happens, especially with a sudden death, where it's just like, hey, had a great weekend and looking forward to doing this, and happy pictures, and then you find out they're dead. And it's like, what? And it's just, it's such a weird moment because you can backtrack because then usually everybody piles on with their in memoriam messages. But prior to that date stamp, it's just life and it's just active and all of a sudden gone. And it's just, it's truly a timeline, a physical timeline that we can look at now of someone's life in front of us. I mean, not on paper, on a screen, essentially, but that's something we, you know, that didn't exist in society before. We didn't have literally a timeline of someone's life to look at and then see the moment they died and the reaction from everybody. And you can look back on it years after they've passed. And it's kind of a haunting thing. And some people use social media as kind of a coping mechanism and a way to grieve. And I don't fault them for that. It's just an interesting way of doing it. But everybody kind of has their own ways of dealing with death. I know I have a friend who died. Gosh, she died almost 20 years ago now. And she has a Facebook page that is run by her mother, and it's still run by her mother, and she still posts on there and pictures and everything. And it's interesting too when that happens, because then the posts and the pictures are that person, you know, kind of caught in time of prior to their death. And you think, like, you look at the pictures of the people, and it's like, yeah, that's what they looked like, you know, about the end of high school. And now we're all almost nearly 40. And it's like, you know, like, I wonder what they would look like today or this or that. And there's all those thoughts that kind of go through your mind, but then they're just always kind of captured in time at that moment. It's a weird thing, but you haven't had to experience that yet.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Danny Smith again. I sent you a message about something that happened to me when I was in Iraq, and now I called in a story about when I was a deputy sheriff and then when I was a little kid. But I've got another couple, because I heard you and one of your co-hosts, and I'm not sure if that was for today or yesterday, you were talking about wanting to hear more military things, you know. And I will start at the Naval Hospital that I used to work at. And anyway, there's been a lot of things on that campus. Like, there's an old hospital there that used to be, that was used during the Civil War. This is in Virginia. And the new building, which was new at the time when I was there in the 1986, 87. Anyway, first things first, there was a 15th floor of that hospital, but they don't use it anymore. And the reason why is because of the paranormal activity. I went up there once just with another corpsman because we wanted to see what it looked like up there. And something started throwing hangers at us and pushing carts at us. So, you know, that kind of experience. I didn't hear any voices or anything, but I had a lot of stuff thrown at me. And when something can manipulate something enough to throw at you, it's kind of scary. Other stories were, they've seen shadow people up there. Others have heard what sounds like a hospital ward and the business going on there with the nurses and the corpsmen and whatnot, talking to the patient. They've heard voices like that. I'm going to go on to the second thing that happened to me. There was one night, I worked in the emergency room, and I used to have to go pick up babies that had passed away, and I had to take them to the morgue. So me and the other ambulance attendee, we pushed the button on the elevator to take us to the floor where the labor and delivery was. The elevator didn't stop there. It stopped on a floor that, when the doors opened, me and this fellow I was with seen what looked like Civil War surgery going on. We seen and smelled what it, you know, what the smell of like blood and what the inside of a body smells like. And we seen, you know, heard screaming, moaning, and a lot of chatter from like the doctors and their medics or nurses or whatever happened to be there. But I do remember before the doors of the elevator closed, I seen a doctor. He beckoned at us to come and help. And then the door closed, and I pushed again the button, and when it opened, it was on a floor that, the same floor, but there was nothing there, because it has, it's another one of those floors that they don't use. So anyway, that's a couple of my stories that I like to share with people. There's another time when I was on the USS Peoria, which was an LST, and this is back in the, the 89, 90, something like that. Anyway, I'm having to go around and check all the first aid kits, make sure their supplies are up to date and that they're stocked well and everything. And I went to the forward area of the ship where the bow ramp machinery room was. And anyway, I'm checking the first aid kit and going through all the stuff. And I out of the corner of my eye, I see a guy walking towards me. He's wearing the dungarees like the Navy wore, and he's got a blue hard hat on. He walks by me, and he tips his head at me, and then I hear a hatch open up just forward of me. It was seconds later that my boss, one of the HM1s, came down there. It kind of scared me a little bit, but he goes, well, you so jumpy for? And I said, did you see the guy that was just seconds before you? And I explained what he was wearing, that he was a first-class petty officer and wearing a blue hard hat. I said he went up there and went through a hatch. And the HM1 looked at me and said, there's no hatches that you can use up there. They've been welded shut because of the accident in the bow ramp machinery room. They've got a different way to get in there to fix it now. And he took me up and showed me these hatches and the hatch, and it was welded. There's no way anybody could have opened it. And when he told me that this area, the area of the ship I was on, there was a petty officer that had gotten caught in the bow ramp machinery, and it killed him. So the what I saw was either I don't think it could be a residual, because he looked at me and nodded his head. So that's one of the hauntings on that ship. And there's another one in where we kept the Marines when we'd be carrying Marines. And in Vietnam, I guess that the space they were in caught fire, and there was a couple of guys that didn't make it out. And I was down there checking the kit again, and I heard a voice say, hey Doc, what you doing? And I look around, and nobody's down there with me. It was like it was right next to me. And so I just, you know, kept on doing it. I heard a voice again. He said, hey Doc, I need some help. And I looked around again, and nobody's there. So I hurried up and finished my business and went back to the sick bay where I worked. But these are some of the military ones. I've got more, but I think for tonight, I think this would be enough for you to discuss. Please let me know what you think about them, and I hope you play them soon. I recently became an EPP member. So I did that today. Well, it would be on the 27th when I did it. But if you get to play my stories, that would be great. And I like what you do, and I like to listen to the stories while I work. And I wish there was a way that I could give feedback to you while you're doing it, because I am a paranormal investigator, and I understand a lot about this stuff. So anyway, you guys rock and have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for sharing those stories. Those are some great stories. So please do call in again and share other ones that you got. You're a very good storyteller. And I loved hearing the stories about the elevator and the...
Yeah, the elevator ones are creepy.
That was interesting where, you know, the door opens. I mean, I can't imagine having that experience.
I would walk in. I would so just like, okay, bye. I'm stuck in this world now.
You just go to the other world?
Yep. Like, bye.
How do you think that this happens ever just kind of a far-fetched idea, but, you know, we talk about is always kind of out there. When people go missing, and there's horrible things, there's murders, there's all sorts of ways that people go missing and never come back. But it does make you wonder sometimes if sometimes a missing person that is never found and there's not really much of a story or a reason for that person to be gone, if that ever does happen, things like that, where something supernatural, something paranormal has happened and they've gone into another place or time. I mean, because what would happen there? What would happen if you got out of the elevator and you just started interacting and that door closed on that elevator? Are you there now? Are you stuck there now? Are you a ghost in their time? Are you able to go back to your time? That's the question. Or would you get out and then, you know, maybe you'll see these things for a little bit and they'll fade away and you're just on that floor and you're still in your time? I don't know. I mean, there's a gazillion questions. But it does make me wonder sometimes if when someone is no longer around and they've never been found, they've gone missing, if in some rare cases, it is something like that, where it's some sort of, you know,
war.
Yeah, they've stepped into another dimension, not intentionally, but or not knowing what the, you know, end result would be.
Honestly, I would just kind of like peep my head out, like, yeah, say hi and then go back in.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd be like pressing the button really quick. And then I'd be calling my therapist very quickly thereafter. Like, I don't know what the hell. Then I'd probably be locked away. I mean, because that's another weird thing. Like, after you have that experience, who do you tell? You know?
Tell me.
Well, yeah, I tell you. But you can't, like, really go to any medical professional and be like, hey, by the way, this happened. You know, because they're going
to... Go to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, and they're going to say, you need a psych eval. And they'll evaluate and you know, maybe you should after you have that experience. I think I probably would want that myself, just to be sure that I wasn't having some sort of a hallucination experience. And maybe at the end of the day, they'd still rule it that, even if that is not what happened.
If two people would experience it, I don't think it would be hallucination.
That's different if it's two people. You're right. But if it's just you on the elevator and you're saying this happened, there's probably no real way to prove either way that it, you know, because the mind can do amazing things. I mean, and scary things too. I mean, you can hallucinate exactly what he just said. Two people simultaneously couldn't, but a single person, yeah, you could hallucinate almost anything. But I don't think that's at all what happened here in this story. I believe he walked into something. There was energy there. It was portraying itself in a way that it, you know, of what happened. And yeah, I just don't know how I would handle that afterwards.
I just like to point out the fact that there actually was two people on that elevator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just thinking of it from a one person perspective. Mm. That, yeah, in a two person, that's quite amazing. You know, and I think you'd want that if you're going to have that experience, because you can both verify, look, neither of us are crazy. And there's no way, even if there was like a gas leak or something and, you know, one's hallucinating one thing, one's hallucinating another, there's no way you're both going to be seeing the exact same things. It's just, that's impossible unless it is something ghostly. that's going on. So, I mean, yeah, that and the ship story. And I love those. I love those a lot. So thank you so much for that. And please do, like I said, share more. We'd love to hear your stories here on the program. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you guys like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.